God's good. I want to start talking about, I'm going to finish up today on our series on being led by the Spirit, but I want to talk today just real quick, because I think this is the first public, we've kind of talked about it in some of our membership meetings, but we're going to make it official the first Sunday in January. First Sunday in January, we're going to be moving to 10:30. We're going to be moving our service to 10:30. Now, that's not an excuse to show up at 10:20, or 10:45 or 10:50. If, that means those of you who come in at 10:30, you just keep coming. Just pretend that it's still at 10 o'clock, right? That way we have a good full house for worship, so we can have more moments like this. Come on now. When you have a moment like that, that's not just by accident. Come on, that's what God's will is all the time. He wants to manifest himself like that, but it takes people putting their hearts together in unity. So starting the first Sunday in January, we're going to be switching to 10:30. So all throughout the month of December, you're going to get sick and tired of hearing me talk about it. But we're going to talk about it a lot. We're going to start going to 10:30 starting the first Sunday in January. And I'll be honest with you, I'm looking forward to having more moments like that right there. You know, we've been here 5 years, and never thought my son would be the first person to take a lap in this church, but he took one this morning. I almost like, was that real? Or was he going to the bathroom? but he ran by me saying hallelujah, so praise God. 10:30, first Sunday in January, all right? Start getting your mind wrapped around it. Now, that doesn't mean throughout December here you start showing up at 10:30. Everything's going to stay the same until we break the new year, okay? And you'll be hearing more about that from the department heads if you serve in a department. We're also going to be doing some scheduling things that are going to change. Going to shake some positions up a little bit and change a little things. But, you know, it's all good. It's not anything bad. We're not taking away anybody from anything. We're just trying to get ourselves more organized. The Lord's been convicting me because there are some things that we have to do in order to grow. And we just haven't been doing them because it's been inconvenient. But it's about time to get, allow myself to get inconvenienced. Mm-hmm. And so nobody likes change. But some things you just have to do. So we're going to be doing those things starting here as we go towards the new year. And by the time we get to the new year, we'll have some new things going on here, some new policy and procedure, that's the word I was looking for, in place. And so praise God, it's going to be good. And then we're going to really push after we get to the first of the year to try and raise the rest of that money for our new equipment. We're about a sixth of the way there. We're going to try and raise the rest of the money after the first of the year. We're going to let you have this month to buy your Christmas presents and stuff like that. But then we need to try and get that stuff, because there's a lot of things that we want to do to promote the church that we can't do right now, okay? And so that's what all that new equipment is going to do and help us to do. So we got to raise somewhere around $5,000 still. Yeah, we got a little over $1,000 in the bank, and so the total cost is going to be about $6,000. So, sometime this year, I finally got the bill on this. To take this ceiling out of here, this nasty, ratty ceiling. And that's going to be another thing we'll do sometime in 2018. But I don't want to get into that too much today. All right? Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We're going to continue talking about, we're going to finish it up today, this way, that way, another way. And we've been talking about being led by the Spirit because, there's 1,000 different ways to do something. You just Google it, and you'll find 50 pages all full, and sometimes even more than that. Sometimes they'll come up there and say there's 3,000 pages of articles of how to do something. And the thing is how do you know which one's the right way to do it for you? You may look at something and like it and go, oh, I think I should do it that way. But really, can you pull that off yourself? Is that the best way to do it for you, or is that just something that you look at and like? And that's why we started this series, because there's all kinds of choices and decisions and things that we're doing in our lives that we need to learn how to be led by the Spirit, because the Spirit of God knows what's best, not just how to do it, but what's best that'll work for us. He also knows everything about everything. Come on now. He knows everything about everything, including the future. And so if I got to make a decision, I need to be asking the one person that knows everything, and it's none of you. Come on, it's not me. It's him. He knows everything, doesn't he? And so that's why we started talking about this. Romans chapter 8, verse number 14 says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God." Praise God. Are you a child of God? Then you ought to be led by the Spirit. Come on, somebody. All right. We live in a time where Jesus actually said it was better for him to not be here. He said, it's better for me to go away because somebody just like me is going to come, but he's not limited by time and space and flesh. And I don't have to wait while somebody else is talking to him. I can talk to him at the same time. Come on, somebody. I don't have to worry about interrupting somebody else's conversation in order to get his attention. Come on, he can hear all of us talking and asking questions and answer all of us at the same time. That's the God we serve, and that's the Holy Spirit, all right? That's why Jesus said it was better. It is better for us right now than the 12 disciples had it. And so Brother Hagin used to say, the world needs to know Jesus, but the church needs to know the Holy Spirit. All right? That we got full access to somebody that knows everything. Now, we did say to you that he's going to lead you in something, not force you into something. All right? He's going to lead and encourage you to go in a certain direction. It's up to us to follow and steer our lives. He's not your pilot. He's not the co-pilot. He's the navigator. And it's up to you to decide whether or not you're going to listen to that. All right? We said to you that he wants to lead you into all things, not just the important things, not just the big things. All right? Everything is easy to God. Big, small, it doesn't matter. It's all easy. All of it. Your impossible situation, come on now, it's easy for him. Easy to fix. Easy to lead you right out of. Come on now. Come on now. Come on, we just had a real nice encounter with the presence of God, and you're just going to sit there and look at me like that? Come on. It's easy for God to fix the worst of the worst situation. It's all easy for him. It's all easy. And he wants to lead us in the big things and the little things. We don't have to decide which one am I going to pray about. No, God wants to be involved in all of it. And so we said to you, we got to be conscious that the Holy Spirit is a person. He's not an it. He is not the power of God. He is God. He's the distributor of God's power. And he's available to everybody who belongs to Jesus. You have access to that power, all right? He's the person that makes everything Jesus was while he was here on the earth real to you on the earth right now. Everything Jesus was, the Holy Spirit makes him real to you right now, all right? And then we said to you that you are not just a person, you're a spirit. That's how come you can be led by the Spirit, because you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. Your soul, we talked about the difference between your spirit and your soul. They are not the same thing. Your soul is your emotions and your intellect. Your spirit is the real eternal you that lives forever, all right? But your soul has to be saved or renewed, because how many of you know your emotions can get the better of you? You respond out of emotion one time and you feel horrible about it, all right? The spirit man's the real you, and so we're learning how to be led by him, okay? We also talked about that each one of your the three parts of you have their own voice. Your spirit has a voice, your soul has a voice, and your body has a voice. And we talked about putting the body under. The soul has to be renewed, but the body has to be crucified and put under, and I'm stop listening to him. And here in a few weeks when we start the New Year's resolutions, your body's going to start talking to you. That candy's going to look real good, or them mashed potatoes is going to look real good, all right? But we don't let our bodies dominate us. Then we start talking to you about the number one way that the Holy Spirit leads us is the inward witness. That's that knowing on the inside. You don't know why you know it. You just know it. That's him, his spirit agreeing with your spirit. And it produces that sense of knowing that you don't know why you know it. And then last week we talked about how to identify it. We said you need to ask these two questions. Does it line up with Scripture? And does it produce a sense of peace? If the Holy Spirit leads you something and it doesn't line up with Scripture, then it wasn't the Holy Spirit leading you. If you can't find agreement in the Bible from it, then it's not him. This week, we're going to finish up talking about how do I increase the sensitivity to the follow his leading. How do I get to the point where I can make these great decisions and it's just kind of, it's not really routine, but it's something I'm not shocked by. How do I increase the sensitivity to being led by the Spirit? Well, the first one, this is going to sound like a real great mystery explained right now. This is going to sound like a very big, huge unraveling of something that most people never think about, and you're going to just be blown away by this number one. Are you ready? The first way to increase the sensitivity to the leading of the Spirit is you have to be open to be led by the Spirit. I mean, is it really that simple? Yeah. You got to be open to it. If you want to just do what you want to do and never consult the Holy Spirit, you're never going to be led to it by him. You're closing the door on him leading you. Again, we said to you during one of the first weeks was he's not going to force you or make you do anything. He's going to lead you. You remember the story where Jesus was getting ready to go to the cross and he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was standing, he told his disciples, he said, stay here, I'm going to go pray. And so he told them to stay there and pray, and remember they fell asleep? Remember that? And he walked over and he prayed, and the Bible says he actually asked God, the Father, he said, if there's any way I can get out of this, get me out of this. Now, some people look at that and go, man, that's selfish. No. That just shows you how much Jesus was a man like us, like a human being, because I wouldn't want to go and get beat like that. Come on, would you? I don't care who it was for. I wouldn't want to. Now, would you do it? Probably. Some of you would probably do it for your kids or your spouse or somebody so they wouldn't have to be. But would you want to? I mean, I would not want to take a beating for my kids. I would do it because I love my kids. Come on, you would too. But nobody'd be excited about it. Yes, let's go. Come on. Yes, take that whip and beat me with it right now. And then put nails in my hands and crucify me. That sounds great. So Jesus actually asks the Father. He says, hey, if there is any way to get me out of this. But now watch this. He didn't stop there. He actually was open to the leading after that. He's like, no, but nevertheless, whatever you want, not what I want, come on now, but what you want. Meaning, I have this desire, but I'm willing to lay this desire down if this is what you say is best. What was Jesus? He was open. He was open to being led a different way. If you're taking notes, you'll want to write this down. The secret to your fulfillment is not doing what you want to do, but doing what God wants you to do. The secret to being fulfilled in this life is not just doing what you want to do. Now, some of us have grown up that way. I can't wait till I turn 18. I can do whatever I want to do. Come on now, how many of you said that before? I can do whatever I want to do, whenever I want to do it. I can't wait till I get my own job and I got my own money and you can't tell me what to do anymore. Some of you, listen, I don't mean this bad or anything. Some of you have been through divorces and just same thing. If I could just, I can't wait till I get away from them. I'm going to be able to do whatever I want to do. Listen, this is a theme throughout our lives. Listen, please don't take that wrong. I know there are people who have been through divorces. Come on, God loves them just as much as he loves anybody else. Listen, that's just part of life. But we've had this programmed in us for a long time. I get to do Come on, whenever I want to. Listen, you ever see some two people argue? Come on, you can see their pride well up, and they go, you can't tell me what to do. I'm going to do it anyway. You ever see somebody tells them, you know, please don't do that, and they do it anyway with that real spiteful look on their face? I remember one time when I was a kid, and I was sitting at the table, and I was chewing real loud. And my mom said, stop chewing so loud. Close your mouth when you chew. And just the little rebel that I used to be looked at my mom, and I just went just louder and just more obnoxious, just right at her like that. And without even knowing what happened, all of a sudden, something on this side, I was looking at her this way, something over here, swoom, and down on the ground. And I was like suddenly looking up on the ground still doing this. I was like, how did I get down here? And my dad was like, you're not going to talk to your mom that way. But a lot of times, now listen, the older you get, the more you realize just because you can do everything you want to do doesn't always, come on now, bring you happiness and peace and fulfillment in your life. Come on, seasoned people. I'm not going to call you old. Seasoned people would agree with me, wouldn't you? Just because you can doesn't mean it does anything for you. And all you younger folks should be taking notes right now because I'm giving you gold right now. Just because I can, and listen, I can. I can do whatever I want to do whenever I want to do it. But the older I get, I start realizing I don't want to. Just because I can doesn't mean anything. The secret to my fulfillment is not just doing whatever I want to do. The secret to being fulfilled in my life, come on, is doing what God wants me to do. God is smarter than any of us. There's a big one right there, isn't it? That's another obvious that we just kind of overlook sometimes. God's smarter than any of us. And let me tell you this. He actually knows more about your situation than you do. Yeah, but he doesn't know about dealing with, you know, leasing agents. And he doesn't know, you know, about dealing with business people. And he doesn't. Yeah, he does. Who do you think made all that mess? He did. He made it all. And it got perverted and messed up. But he knows how to deal with all of that. Okay? But now, just because he's smarter than you and you have access to him, listen to this. He will only share what his vast wisdom and vast knowledge, he will only share that with you in areas that you are willing to access him on. You better catch that, because he is not just going to download the answers to you if you don't ask him. If you don't go and say, Lord, show me what I need to do here, he's not going to make you do anything. All right? Before you can be led, you have to be open to it. Now, before I started pastoring, now I've been here 5 years, but let me tell you about this journey. 5 years pastoring. It took the Lord 6 years to get me to a point where I would even consider it. Now, that doesn't mean I was rebellious, doesn't mean I would say no, but 6 years before, I loved, and that's capital L-O-V-E-D, loved being a youth pastor. I loved it. I mean, it was like I was custom built to be that. I loved it, and I could never even imagine doing anything else. I mean, I had the dream job. I was working at the mothership of the faith movement. I mean, Rhema Bible Church had 5,000 or 7,000 people in it, and my youth group had 500 kids in it, and I was doing conferences that would have 1,200 kids come to it, and I mean, we were doing youth camps that had 600, and I was just like a duck in water. It was what I loved to do. And I didn't have to do all the other things the pastoral staff had to do. I remember the first time they called me and asked me to go to the hospital, and I was like, well, what do I do when I get there? I don't, what do I do? And they're like, well, that's true. You've never been on a hospital call before. We better send you with somebody before we send you out there. I had no idea what to, it was just, there were things that they did that I didn't care if I ever had to. I didn't want to preach on Sunday nights to a bunch of old people. That was my mentality 6 years ago, okay? But 11 years ago now, all right? I just didn't, it didn't appeal to me. The worship was boring. Come on, the people were already set in their ways. I wanted moldable, shapeable, excitable people. And so I was completely loving it. But over the course of 6 years, and I remember the first time the Lord spoke to me about pastoring one day, and I was like, huh? What? But over a period of 6 years, things stopped being automatic and easy and exciting and slowly started to become laborious and hard. And then all of a sudden, I came down here on vacation, was over at New Smyrna Beach. We went to Disney World. I came back, and Jody will tell you, every year around October, we did this thing called Fall Retreat. And we would go out into the ranch at Ramahaz, south of Tulsa, and it was my favorite event of the year. We came back from vacation, and that was the event was getting ready to happen. We came back from vacation, and we went down there, and it was literally like somebody flipped the light switch. I went to Fall Retreat and hated every second of it. The drama that the kids were talking about, all the stuff that they were talking about, and I was just like, who cares about your boyfriend? Nobody cares. Who cares that they talked about you behind your back? Who cares about all the drama? You know, and I just literally sat there in a rocking chair, and it was so symbolic. I'm sitting in a rocking chair, you know, I was retiring from youth ministry. And I sat there, and I was so hating what I was doing. Hating it. And what had happened was, even though it manifested suddenly with a light switch, over 6 years, the Lord was just leading me a little bit every time. Now, if I was not open to that, I could have ignored it, really tried harder. Come on now. I could have really tried to fix things, and if I could just, and really try to make this happen on my own. But see, I'm open to being led by the Spirit. And so I was smart enough to realize that there was something going on. If you're not open to it, the Lord will just leave you right there. He'll just leave you right where you are. He's not going to make you. He's not going to force you. He's going to lead you. And if you don't want to follow his leading, you figure it out on your own. And so I knew that my time in youth ministry full time like that was coming to an end. And so I started searching and asking, what do I need to do? And then they asked me to go and be the young adults pastor. You know, 18 to 30 years old. And because I had such a great relationship with the Hagans, I was like, well, maybe this is what I've been feeling all this time, that I'm supposed to, you know, go up to this next age group. I mean, it's my old youth group anyway. I'll be all right. I got in there. I busted my hind end for 6 months, gave it everything I have, and it still wasn't right. And I could still feel the leading of the Spirit to get ready to do something else. And then we started looking at places to come to down here, and we looked at down here. We looked down at the Loop, down in Kissimmee. We looked, you know, up in Windermere. We started looking all over the place, and I could tell that the Lord was leading us to Orlando. But if you're not open to that, I mean, seriously, my own interpretation of that is I have the dream job. I mean, it was like winning American Idol to go to work for Rhema. No, nobody, some of y'all don't understand. Rhema had access, they still do have access to anybody they want, could pay them anything they want, could hire anybody they want. I mean, at that point in time, Kenneth Hagin Sr. was still alive when they hired me. I mean, it was like winning American Idol. And I, of the 30-some thousand graduates at the time, got picked. And I was on cloud nine. And so in my own reasoning, in my own mind, see, that makes a whole lot more sense to me. And do you understand what I'm saying? Listen, there are things in your life that make a whole lot more sense to you, but if you'll listen to what the Spirit's saying, He's leading you a different direction. Didn't mean that I wasn't supposed to be the youth pastor there, but that wasn't the final stop. Okay? You have to be open to the Holy Spirit's leading. If you get so set in your mind and in your heart, it's literally like going through life with blinders on. Remember a few weeks ago I showed you the horse with the big blinders? That they put them on, sometimes they put them on to plow with, there you go. They put them on to plow with sometimes, but sometimes they put them on racehorses so they can't see the crowd because they get spooked by the crowd. And they put these big earmuff things on them so that when they're running, all they see is the rail. And they go, if I go that way, I'm breaking my leg. So they keep them right in the sweet spot and they run. That's keeping... If that's what you go through your life thinking, that everything that you think and only what you think, then the Holy Spirit could be over here going, hey, look at this right here. Look at how awesome this would be. Look at how great your life would be if you just do this. And I think you should try this. And I want you to do this. But if you're not open to that, no, I'm just going to do this. It's not going to work, and you're not going to be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit. You have to be open to allow yourself to do something different than you think. Psalm chapter 81, verse number 11. But my people did not listen to me. Israel did not want me, so I let them go their stubborn way and follow their own advice. I wish, this is God talking, my people would listen to me. I wish Israel would live my way. Then I would quickly defeat their enemies and turn my hand against their foes. Matthew 23, verse 37. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you kill the prophets and stone to death those who are sent to you. Many times I wanted to gather your people as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you did not let me. Now your house will be left completely empty. God wants to do something incredible in your life. We all want to say amen to that, and we all believe that. But are we really open to Him telling us how to get there? Or is it supposed to be something we get figured out on our own? It's not always something that you're going to be automatically open to. I mean, I told y'all the story a few weeks ago about sowing that big seed out of my emergency fund. Nothing about that was, I was not open to that. The flesh in me was like, heck no, I've been saving that just in case. And the Holy Spirit's going, okay, I'd really like you to give that though. But you leave it there. If that's what you go ahead. All right. Now here's the next thing. Allow yourself to miss it. That's how you increase the sensitivity. Allow yourself to be wrong. Some of you are like confused right now. Tilt? How, what? What if you're led by the Spirit, or you think you're being led by the Spirit, and you're wrong? Are you going to back up and say, well, that's just me, and you never try again? If you miss it, that just shows you one way. You know, if I hear it like that again, that's not me. Or that was just me. That wasn't the Holy Spirit. That was just me. Allow yourself some room to grow. Now, here's what I want to say. When you're doing that, don't start off with believing for $1 million if you've never believed for $10. Lord, lead me into the direction of $10. If you've never done that, then what makes you think you're going to just be so proficient in being led by the Spirit that He'd lead you to $1 million? Come on, because you know the bigger the blessing, the more steps you're going to have to take. The more steps of obedience you can have. If you can't obey God to buy somebody a cup of coffee for $1 at Wawa, you know, then He's not going to. That's the leading to the $10 blessing. Come on, somebody. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, if you can't believe God for a good deal on a pair of shoes to lead me to a sale on a pair of shoes, what makes you think He's going to lead you to a great deal on a new house? Well, I mean, really? Shoes? I mean, listen, allow yourself to miss it on a pair of shoes that don't matter. I mean, if God's going to lead you to a sale on a pair of shoes, you know, then he can. You're listening. You're zeroed in. Experience of failure helps you zero in on the genuine. Everybody wants to be perfect. I wish we all could be. But there are areas in our lives that we miss it. But the thing is we got to get up, come on, dust ourselves off, and go again. Allow yourself to miss it, all right? Start with something small and allow your failures to be put there, okay? Then the last one is this. You have to yield. Now, the word yield means to give way to, which we all know because we drive. Maybe you don't, you just ignore yield signs, but you have to, listen, if he says it, you just go, okay. That's why you start with something small that you don't really care that much about, because it gets you in the habit of yielding to that. When he leads to do the smallest and insignificant thing, just say yes and do it. Just lean in on it and go. What does that do? It proves your obedience. If the Lord tells me to do something for somebody and I don't understand why, great example. Yvonne needs a ride to the airport tonight. She asks, hey, can you take me to the airport tonight? Now, my mind says, you have kids. Why can't they drive you? Now, I didn't really think that. It's just an example. Why can't they drive you? You got family. Now, that's my mind. Okay? But my spirit man on the inside says, bless her. Come on, somebody. Do you see what I'm saying? And then I go, yeah, okay, sure, no problem. All right? Then I come to find out, I'm sitting there getting my hair cut yesterday at her house, and she says, Jason's going with me. Well, there's why Jason can't drive her to the airport. Come on, somebody. Do you see what I'm saying? Now, that's something small and little and insignificant and no big deal to me. Come on, that's a big blessing to them. It better be. You have to yield. Come on, somebody. You have to yield when the Lord starts to speak to you. There's a story in the Bible of the prophet Samuel when he was a little boy. And the Lord started speaking to him in the middle of the night. And he would say his name. No, not yet. Not yet. We're not there yet. Start speaking in the middle of the night, and he would say, Samuel. And he would say, and he'd get up and go to the older priest's room, and he'd say, did you call me? He'd be like, nope, go back to sleep. So he'd go back to sleep, and he heard his voice again, and got up and walked back in. He said, did you call me? He said, no. So he walks back, and the third time he goes in, and he says, is it Gehazi, is that his name? He says, did you call me? And he says, no, I think the Lord's calling you. Next time you hear it, you need to say, yes, Lord, here I am. So Samuel's laying there in the bed, and the Lord says his name again. He says, yes, Lord, here I am. And then he finds out he's being called to be a prophet. Now, that's young, little boy Samuel. We go forward several years. He's the guy that anoints Saul, come on, to be the king of Israel. He's proficient. Verse number 22 of 1 Samuel chapter 15. The Lord is speaking through Samuel to Saul, and this is what he said. Now, Saul has disobeyed God, and Samuel proficiently gives him this word. Samuel replied, what is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices of your obedience to his voice? Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than offering the fat of rams. Now, what happened there? If you don't know this story, Saul was supposed to kill every living person and thing in this kingdom that they conquered. And he didn't. He kept the king alive and kept all the real nice stuff. And when he got caught on, he goes, oh, well, I was going to burn the sacrifice. And this is where this comes from. Now, first of all, Samuel is making a statement about his own life here, because he had to get to the point where he could obey God, come on, when he was nothing, in order to stand up in front of the king and give him a word like this that is having to do with right where he's walking. It's better for you to lean on something small and insignificant. I love it when I talk to Matt. Matt goes, I'm out eating, and the Lord tells me to give a certain amount to the waitress. If you can't do that, what makes us think that Matt's ever going to get led to do something big with his life? But on the inside of me, I'm going flipping for joy with him because I know what that's leading him to. Come on, to the next step. Yielding. I come home one night from Huntington, West Virginia. I was driving home, going home. I'd been up at my cousin's church up there. They had a Saturday night revival, and we were up there late. And so I was on my way home. Man, the Lord just said, pull over right now. And I was like, what? And I drove a little bit further, maybe two or three lights through the city of Huntington, and the Lord said, pull over right now. So I pulled over into this gas station. It's 11:30 at night, no lights on, nobody around. Put my car in park, and I just sat there for a second, and nothing happened. And I was almost disappointed. Like, what, did I just miss something? That's the great thing about it, y'all. Nothing happened. So I pulled back out. I drove home, my little 87 Firebird. I drove all the way home. Made it home, safe. Sound on a Saturday night when there's drunks out everywhere. Come on, somebody. I made it home safe and sound. Now, what did that do? It set me up to start listening to the voice of the Lord in bigger things. And I remember sitting in the hot tub at my mom and dad's house in 2000. And the Lord told me to send some money. Wasn't a lot. It was only like $60. To my cousin and his wife who were students at Rhema. And the Lord said, I want you to send. And I was like, that's all the money I got. And he's like, send it. So I put it in an envelope and I sent it to him. And I mean, they were being cared for. I mean, his dad's church and her mom and dad took care of them while they were there. And they were great, doing just wonderful. Didn't need that. But it set me up for obedience. To do something small and insignificant, and I'm not kidding you, 2 months. I mean, the Lord told me, he goes, send that to them, because what I'm going to do with that, you're going to love. And 2 months later is when I got the call to go to work at Rhema. See, if you yield to the small and insignificant, okay, the Lord takes you to the big things. We never know the reward if we never obey. God leads us in steps, and each step is told to be taken, but we have to yield to his leading in order to take it. Now, with that being said, if yielding causes us to be more sensitive, how do we turn the sensitivity down? By explaining it away. I'm going to have to see the whole picture before I'll do that. Anybody ever been there? God, you're going to have to explain that better than that. You're going to have to explain that to me much better than that. I just don't do things on a whim. I got to have all the information. Don't get quiet. Nobody will know I'm talking to you. Okay. I mean, I don't know about that, God. I mean, I'm a planner. You know me. I'm a planner. I got to have all the I's dotted and the T's crossed. And you know what that is? That's wanting proof and not faith, not using faith. You have to yield to the first step for direction to come. And a lot of times that first step is what unveils the second step. And most of the time, you don't see the whole picture until you're at the last step. Come on, who would testify to that? I mean, you just get there and you finally get to where you're supposed to be and you go, oh, okay, I get it now. Okay? The more you yield or obey to move, understanding it's the Holy Spirit leading you, the more sensitive to his leading you become. When he deals with you, you respond. When he directs you, you obey. When praise comes upon your heart, come on, you let that out. All right? If you feel like you're supposed to buy somebody a cup of coffee, buy them a cup of coffee. All right? If somebody's supposed to give, you're supposed to give something, give it. If you're supposed to say something to somebody, come on, say it. If you're supposed to turn somewhere, turn. If he says, don't go here, don't go there. All right? And you'll become so sensitive to the Holy Spirit that he will absolutely just be able to breathe in your direction. And you'll make an absolute genius decision. And people go, how'd you know about that? How'd you do that? I don't know. I just felt like I was supposed to. It was the Lord. All right? You have to yield to his leading. Heads bowed, eyes closed, I'm done. This is how you become proficient. And the Lord's wanting to lead some of you into some bigger things in your life. I'm going to speak that out by prophecy right now. The Lord's wanting to direct some of you into some bigger things in your life. And you've actually started sensing the leading, but you've been unsure and you've been kind of, you know, and he's been leading you to do some things. I know, like, some of the things I was talking about at the beginning of the service, the Lord's been leading me to do some things about some things here in the church. And I'm just stepping out to do it. Doesn't seem like it would make the connection. But listen to me, there's some things that's on the horizon and in the future for some of you that if you'll just listen and do that obvious thing that he's telling you to do, that thing that just seems like so insignificant, what does that have to do with me? What does that have to do with that next step? It just seems like they're not connected. But you know, and I don't know who that is, but you know what it is that I'm talking about. And you've almost talked yourself out of it because you don't think that is significant. That doesn't connect. That doesn't make a lot of sense. But that's the Holy Spirit leading you, and he's trying to tell you, do that. And then the rest of it will come. Now, if that's you, you know I'm talking to you, just go ahead and just make that commitment to the Lord right now. Say, okay, Lord, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do it. And you know what I'm talking about. You could even, if I handed you the microphone right now, you'd know what it is the Lord's leading you to do. But it doesn't look like there's a connection in what he's leading you to do. And the end result that you want. But you know it. Right now, you know it. Make that commitment, and the Lord's going to take you to the place you're wanting to go and the place that you need to go. Now, whoever that is, nobody looking around, can I pray for you? Just slip your hand up and say, that's me. Pastor Brent, you're talking to me. I know he's been dealing with me about something, and I haven't. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. I kind of argued with him about it because it didn't seem like it had any connection where I'm wanting to go. But I know he's been dealing with me about it, and you're shedding some light on it, and I see that that's where I need to go. Several hands went up just now. Praise God, I'm going to put my faith with you right now. Lift your hand up and just receive this. I'm praying with you right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I put my faith with them right now. In agreement that, Lord, as they take this step of obedience, of your leading, Lord God, that they run smack dab into your blessing. Lord God, as it doesn't make sense, Lord, we pray that you comfort them, give them peace to make this step, strengthen their faith so that they can make that step and do what you've called them to do and walk in the blessing. I thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, praise God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Now, if you're here today and you don't know the Lord, the Bible says that you can actually call on the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. And I just want to give that opportunity. Never like to have a service go by without it. If you don't know Jesus, you don't have a relationship with him, you can walk out of here today with a relationship with God by simply confessing Jesus as Lord of your life and make a decision in your heart that God raised him from the dead and that he is the Son of God. I'm going to say this prayer up here. I want you to say it right there at your seat. If you're watching online, you can say it with us today too. Just say this prayer with me this morning. Say, Father God, I come before you today a sinner, but I believe that Jesus is your Son, and I believe that you raised him from the dead, and I believe that he's Lord of all. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Make me a new person. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that prayer with me this morning, you're now a new person. You're not the same person that walked in those doors right there. You have now been born again. and you're a brand new creature, and the Lord can now speak to you and speak in your life and lead you by His Spirit. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Well, as we wrap up today's service, I want to thank all of you that came to church today that didn't allow the tryptophan to keep you, you know, that's that turkey chemical that makes you sleepy. Thank you for not allowing yourself to be hung over by tryptophan and come to church today. All of you who are watching at home today, hope to see you here Sunday as we really start to swing into the Christmas season. We're going to start some Christmas sermons. We actually have a Christmas program this year, like a play. It's going to be really good. This is where we're going to swing in for the next 3 weeks. And then we will be having Christmas Eve. We will be having our normal service at the Sunday morning. We're going to have a normal service on Sunday morning. Christmas is on Monday this year. And nobody does anything on Christmas Eve till the evening anyway. So you might as well get up and come to church. It's just like any other Sunday. Come on. We had Christmas last year in church on Sunday morning. So, come on, come to church. We're going to be here the rest of the month. And then New Year's Eve will be here too. And then we can all stay up late and party all night. Just take Monday off. So praise God. Amen. We love you all so much. We're going to receive today's tithes and offerings. Today's the day, we're grateful for everything that you guys do and the support that you keep bringing to the church. I want to thank the online audience who give tremendously. Thank you so much. Some people, like I said, y'all have never met some people that give online every week. But I want to encourage you to keep tithing. If you don't tithe, start tithing. This is one of those Spirit-led things. It won't make a lot of sense to you because you think, well, I need to keep everything. But if the Lord's leading you, and He does through His Word, to give tithes and offerings, then you're robbing yourself of the blessing, and you're missing out on it. That means your money has still got whatever came out of the world with it. And when it came out of the world, it came with whatever was on it. Whatever that spirit was, it's in the world, it's on your money until you tithe. Then it just redeems the rest of it. Come on, God rebukes the devourer for your sake. Come on, somebody. That means things that will, you know, you can either tithe to the repairman or you can tithe to God. And He'll cause the 90% to go further. Amen? Amen. Praise God. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank You for the opportunity to give today. We thank You for the needs of Direction Church being met. We thank You that the needs of its people are being met. We thank You that as they follow Your rules of giving and receiving, that they'll be blessed with new jobs and raises and promotions, that they'll get new patients, new clients, new listings. Lord, that they'll have new invention ideas and new business ideas. Lord, things that have been stuck and delayed, Lord God, will start to come through. And Lord, that they'll get inheritance money and things that they've been waiting for will come forward and manifest. We thank You that unexpected increase will come into their lives because they follow Your rules of giving and receiving. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you as you give.